armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of yee about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Try
to save the pump up. Really, this is what you're doing? This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. Houston Texans went all in the first part of the draft. What about Mike Ditka?
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am doing pretty darn good. We're going to get into the NFL draft here in the bottom of the hour. Bobby's going to jump on. We're going to react. But first, before we get into any of that, we are going to dive into the Braves versus Mets game one tonight. Well, that's what we hope. The good news is it's finally here, Braves versus Mets. The bad news is it looks like some really bad weather the next couple of days. So we'll see what happens. We're going to go ahead and get you ready just in case. And the plan is to do the game. So away we go, and let's go ahead and jump into it. All right. The lineups are out. So let's go ahead and dive into that. And looking at the weather, by the way, I mean, it is not looking well for the series. And it's a shame, because the Braves are playing well, and this is when you want to play the Mets. Mets are kind of scuffling a little bit, other than the cough up that we had on yesterday's game at the end, where Minter couldn't get three outs with a 4-run lead, which is just absolutely ridiculous at this point. Iglesias can't get back fast enough. He has started a rehab assignment, so we hope to have him back sometime next week, hopefully. But until then, they're going to have to try to piece it together. I would kind of suspect that if the game is played tonight, no matter what happens, Minter's not going to be in the game. They're going to give him a night to kind of reset himself mentally. And I would think Nick Anderson would be the guy that they would lean on. Now that's assuming the game is close, right? Which is a big assumption, because you never know which team is going to show up for the Braves or the Mets. But assuming the game is close, it's on the line, and we're heading in to the late innings, I would think they're going to try to build it with Nick Anderson as the closer, because Nick Anderson has the most experience at closer. Now, I know Kirby Yates has done it in the past, but it's been quite some time, and I don't think he has quite the stuff that that Nick Anderson has. By the time Brian Snicker got up off his butt and brought Jesse Chavez into the game yesterday, it was too late. I mean, it really was too late. You can't bring Jesse Chavez, who does not have blowaway stuff, into a game in a do or die, get a guy out or else scenario. Jesse Chavez is set up for the middle innings. Jesse Chavez will go in there and make sure he doesn't walk a bunch of base runners, and he'll rely on his defense. That's not really what you're looking at the end of the game. Now, you hope the ball is going to get hit to somebody, but obviously it didn't. Went into the gap. The run scored. Braves lose 5-4. And we do apologize, but we did lose power about a half hour after we got back on, sat there in a 3-hour rain delay. And I want to say it was about a half hour into being back on. Pow, it went out and it never came back on here at my house until about an hour or so after the game was over. So we weren't able to, and I think eventually the feed dies. It stayed up there for a while, which I was pleasantly surprised because we were all putting the scores in and what was going on in. And I do thank everybody who was trying to alert everybody what was going on. But I think eventually what I saw, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe from my end, it said, this is no longer live, that kind of thing. So we do apologize for that, but sometimes you just can't fight Mother Nature. Now, tonight's game, we're going to go with the assumption it's being played for this conversation. There's no sense of talking about if it's not played because we don't have that information at this point. So right now, assuming that it's played, you see the Braves lineup right there. I'm not going to toggle back and forth. I'm going to give you the Mets lineup first, and then we'll go into the Braves lineup. With the Braves lineup, excuse me, the Mets lineup, now they're going to be sending David Peterson to the mound. And David Peterson, a left-hander with a 7.36 ERA this year, a 1.36 whip. You like your chances, especially with Max Fried going to the bump. Max Fried's 1-0 with a 0.6 ERA, 0.93 whip. Big difference. Big difference. Max Fried has the upper hand in this game. But once again, the weather could play a role in this. And I'll get into the weather here in a bit. But Brandon Nimmo is going to be leading off for the Mets. Now, he's off to a pretty good start, batting 341. And he is a pain in the butt. He is not a guy that swings at bad pitches early in the count. He makes the starting pitcher work. Now, for a guy like Fried, that usually plays into his hand because Fried is quick to get out in front of you. But what Nimmo and a few of the Mets batters do, when they get two strikes, they're not afraid to choke up and then make you earn the out. And what that can really lead to, if you think about it, is a bunch of foul pitches because of the choking up, the shortened swing, fighting off pitches, and sometimes running your pitch count up. And that is going to be more of an issue, I believe, when Strider is on the mound, because last year, Strider didn't fare well against these Mets, and it's because they know how to run his pitch count up. As much blowaway stuff as he has, a lot of his stuff is straight, and all you're doing is trying to tack it foul and drive that pitch count up and get into the bullpen. But Nimmo is going to be leading off for the Mets, batting 341. I really think keeping him off the base pass is going to be key to shutting down the Mets this series. Starlin Marte is going to be batting second tonight, 229 average, a home run, 7 RBI. And then you got Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. And I guess you can put Jeff McNeil into this same category as far as the New York Mets are a very top-heavy lineup. And those five guys that I just mentioned, but primarily the first four, Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, and Alonso. You're trying to navigate past them, and then you can be pretty aggressive when you get past that. After that, you're talking about McNeil, Kanya, Tommy Pham, Beatty. If you remember Beatty, he's the one that hit the home run against the Braves last year, his first game in the major leagues, did it at Truist Park. And then, of course, Francisco Alvarez. And that is now he's the catcher. He's batting ninth. That is the kid that they were so high on that they kind of finagled the rules to get him onto the playoff roster last year, if you remember that whole thing. And long story short, not only did he not have a good introduction to the majors, didn't hit hardly at all last year, but he's off to a slow start, batting 176. Now, you can see the talent in his bat. That is for certain. You can see the talent. When he's up there, you can see why he was rated as one of the top prospects in baseball. But that doesn't always translate, and also it doesn't always translate quickly. So right now he's trying to find himself, and the Braves are going to try to take advantage of that. And I would think they could be pretty aggressive at the bottom of that lineup. Tommy Pham, he's got 2 home runs on the year along with Kiner, but they're barely hitting 200. And so when you get past the number 5 hitter in this lineup, which is McNeil, and McNeil is not your basic number 5 hitter. McNeil is a slap and Judy type hitter. He's really a guy that on most teams, if he was on the Braves roster, he would either be at the very bottom or he would be a guy that you would strategically place towards the top as a table setter to just move a guy along. Now, he won the batting title last year, and of course, some of that was a little disingenuous because if you remember, he sat the last few games so that he didn't have to face certain pitchers and ended up getting the batting crown by default. But the short of the matter is he's a good contact hitter. He's not exactly what you think of when you think of a number 5 hitter in the middle of the lineup. You know, when you think of the number 5 hitter in the middle of the lineup, conversely, the Braves tonight, number 5 hitter is Sean Murphy, a guy who can send it out of the park at any swing. So Braves offense, you got to give a check mark to the Atlanta offense going into this series. Atlanta tonight, as you can see, we're going to have Acuna, Olson, Riley, Albies, Sean Murphy, Vaughn Grissom. Rosario is going to be the designated hitter. Pilar and Harris. And what is surprising to me about this lineup, not just the fact that we were excited as hell this morning, maybe I should have left off with this, to see that Michael Harris II is back and back in the lineup. He had the one appearance in down on the farm, and they said, come on up. Let's go. Let's get it. And I love the fact they're putting him at the number 9 slot. Have him bat in front of Acuna like he did when he first came up, and he'll see good pitches ahead. But the other thing, do you notice something off of what I just said with that lineup? So you got Acuna and Olson and Riley, Albies and Murphy. None of that's really changed. Vaughn Grissom has been hitting up there. There's 2 things. A, thankfully, Rosario has been slid down. B, it's a left-handed starter, and Rosario is your designated hitter. A left-handed starter, and Eddie Rosario is your designated hitter. And what does that tell you more than anything else? It tells you that they have had enough of Marcell Ozuna. And the Braves today, they reinstated Harris off the rehab. And they also reinstated Eli White from the paternity list, but they optioned him to AAA. So Eli White is back down on the farm. Nick Solak also was optioned as well. So we have those guys going. The other thing is Raisel Iglesias last night began his rehab assignment in AAA Gwinnett. Typically what's going to happen with that, I've had some folks asking me questions about it. Typically what you're going to see is he pitched last night. He probably won't pitch tonight. They'll probably put him in tomorrow, and they don't care about situation per se. They're going to get him an inning of work no matter what's going on. So they'll probably get him an inning of work tomorrow and see how he feels, and that he could be ready as early as Monday for the finale in the Met series, but most likely we're going to see him sometime next week. So he might get 3 appearances. If they really want to take their time, it could be even 4, but considering how how the bullpen has gone so far. I don't necessarily see them taking their time on this, because this is not really a situation where you feel like that you can just kind of take your time and let him ease himself back in. We are having some issues there closing out games. And it wasn't just yesterday. This has been happening a little bit. And it goes back to something that a lot of folks have been wondering about, and I've gotten a lot of questions. I got some inboxes about it. And the quickest way for me to address this is this. There is a very, very good chance, and I mean very good chance, that when Mike Soroka is ready to come off the IL, assuming that he's not replacing someone who's injured, there's a very solid possibility that Mike Soroka is going to start off in the bullpen. And they've kind of talked about that. They've kind of danced around it. But you can see why that would be important to get his confidence back, to get him back on track. And then if they felt like they really wanted to get him ready for, let's say, a postseason or the postseason run, then he might go down back on the farm to get stretched out. But I think there's a very strong possibility that Soroka comes back sooner than later, but he's going to be in the bullpen, and it'll be middle innings. I don't think that they're going to do anything crazy, like put him on his put him in a high leverage situation. They're not going to ask him to close or be the setup man. I think it'd be more of a sixth, seventh inning type situation. So I'm checking some news just to make sure that I don't miss anything. So, but all in all, Soroka's going to be back sometime in May. He should be, barring any setbacks. And when he comes back, it's not necessarily going to be a starting role, because the other option is the six-man rotation, and I'm not opposed to it, but I can just tell you this from listening to Anthopoulos quite a bit over the last couple of years. He appears to be very against it, because what he always talks about, it's not the idea of having six pitchers. That sounds great, right? When you have six very good pitchers, you get an extra day of rest. But the one thing that we always tend to forget about as far as the big picture is that if you have six guys in your rotation, you could still only have 13 pitchers. So you go from an eight-man bullpen to a seven-man bullpen. And what that would mean is, your starters, every single one of them, they need to go pretty deep into games, because if not, you're going to put some unwanted stress on a bullpen that is much shallow, and there's nothing you can do about it right now. If MLB ever changes its restrictions on the 26-man roster and says, look, you can have 14, you can have 15 pitchers, I could see a lot of teams going to a six-man rotation. But the reason why they don't is because of what I just laid out there. So that's why there's probably a very good possibility he doesn't be a part of a six-man rotation. What he could be is like an opener, where they go in and they don't necessarily expect him to start, but when he comes in, an opener or a piggyback situation where he's going, kind of like they did Strider last year. If you remember, every time Strider came in, it was like two, maybe three innings. And it happened so many times where he was just absolutely dominant. They finally just said, we got to stretch this guy out and get him ready to go. They could take a similar approach to Soroka. As excited as I would be to see him back on the starting rotation, remember something else. They've already talked about the fact that they believe haven't announced an actual number, but they do believe that there is an innings limit on Soroka this year. They mentioned it in the offseason, because with him not being out there for so long, the last thing they want to do is wear him down and then cause another issue. Right? he hasn't gone out there and put any innings out in several years. 2019 was the last time Mike Soroka was essentially a pitcher, a starting pitcher in the major leagues. 2019. Because he didn't do it for very long in 2020, right? So you're talking about five seasons ago. The last thing you want to do is go out there, put him out there, and then out of nowhere, he starts to feel fatigue and he overcompensates, and then he blows his arm or his shoulder out. So they have an innings limit. They haven't said what the innings limit is, but I think it would be somewhere around 100 innings. That's typically the way they go when they start talking about innings limit. You know, when they, by next year, they would hope that he would be around the 150 range. But they're going to treat him with kid gloves because they've got a lot invested with them so far. And he's coming back. He's looking good. But right now, it doesn't look like that he's going to be anything close to being a shoe-in as a starting pitcher right now, unless something, God forbid, happened to any of our other starting pitchers. But tonight, looking at the weather real quick, it is looking nasty. Tonight in New York, they're talking about a light rain starting around 8 o'clock. And if it's something you could play ball in and there's not lightning in the area, maybe they can squeeze a game in. Game is supposed to start at 7:10. Maybe we get lucky and it pushes another direction. But as of right now, it's going to be tough. And then rain all through the night, 80% and 90% all through the night. And then tomorrow, the game is supposed to start at 4 p.m. And once again, we've got showers rolling in around that time tomorrow. It's fairly clear tomorrow morning in New York, but I don't see them doing a situation and go, hey, everyone, meet back here at the ballpark at 9 a.m. and let's go in these games knocked out of the way. It's what they should do, but they don't do that anymore. And then as far as the weekend goes, what it looks like, the forecast is going to be a little sketchy. Obviously, tonight rain, tomorrow night it's looking like rain. I mean they're talking about 92% chance of rain. And then Sunday, they're talking about rain with the partial clearing at some point Sunday night. So I don't know if we're going to get any of these games in. And then, of course, Monday's finally the skies are supposed to open. So what are we going to play, a quadruple header on Monday? I don't know. We'll see what they decide to do. Something tells me one or two of these games is going to get pushed back to a later date. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Bobby's going to jump on, and we're going to talk the NFL draft. We got a lot going on a Friday. NFL draft, Braves, Mets. Let's go. It's a TGI Friday. All right. Braves country, we'll be back in a flash.
You're arrested for bribery? Can't you just bribe your way out? I mean, you're a briber. That's what you do.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio, living in an era of baseball where the impossible is unfolding right before our eyes.
Salvador Perez, the 2-2. Popped up, Sandoval, in foul territory. Giants win! A World Series win for the San Francisco Giants for the third time in the last 5 years. And their hero, Madison Bumgarner.
The 1-2 again.
Inside corner. The Royals, 2015 World Champion. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
But the game right now is at the plate.
Armchair.
The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Started training mixed martial arts, MMA, some people call it UFC. You do UFC? UFC is an organization. MMA, mixed martial arts, is a sport. That's like saying you do NBA, you know? You do Golden State Warrior? Anyway.
Welcome back. Bobby, do you do MMA?
I don't do MMA. I watch MMA.
UFC?
I do UFC. I do watch UFC.
What's the big fight this weekend?
There's nothing big this weekend. It's a pretty dull weekend for UFC, but I'm okay with that because we got the draft.
A little surprised that they didn't do something this weekend.
I guess, yeah. I mean, with the draft going on, NBA playoffs still going. The
draft ends, 6-7 o'clock on Saturday. So
that's true, yeah. That is true.
Bleeds right. It would be perfect for ESPN's coverage to bleed the draft into UFC coverage, right?
Well, that's probably what they'll end up doing, because after the draft winds down, then they have the prelim starting for the UFC Fight Night card. It's not one that I'm terribly interested in, though.
Oh, okay. So they do have a UFC.
Yeah.
It's just not a big one?
It's not any good.
Okay. Understood. All right, let's go ahead and get some reactions. I don't think Carolina drafting Bryce Young really shocked anybody.
No. That was seen from a mile away.
Houston going and getting Stroud. There were so many rumors. Nobody really knew what they were going to do. I still think they should have went AR-15. But I get the Stroud pick. I get it. This is the one that shocked everybody. Houston trades back up with Arizona. Were you shocked being an Arizona fan? Not that they traded, but that it was Houston that jumped up there.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all that we traded down. That's kind of what we expected to happen. But I was shocked that it was Houston that was jumped up and got him. I think one analyst actually accurately predicted that. And when I saw a mock draft about it, I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. But he called it perfectly. I didn't think the Texans were going to, you know, risk that next year's pick, because they're probably not going to be very good next year. I did not think they'd give that up to move up and get Anderson, but I was wrong.
Yeah, they were that really shocked me. And really, like, you think they made a big splash there doing what they really didn't spend that much to go up there and get who I think might be the best player in the entire draft.
Yeah, I agree with that. I could see you can make a case for Will being the best in the draft, but with a team as bad as them, it's risky because they're giving up next year's pick, and you know, if Stroud doesn't start off, you know, gunslinging, it could be a problem. If they go and win 3 or 4 games, that's a top 5 pick probably that the Cardinals are looking at.
I guess if you look at it that way, but the other way I looked at it too, for what they had to give up to go back up there to get, because they were drafting Stroud regardless.
Yeah.
They're going to get a Will Anderson that everyone believes could be like a Von Miller type, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a defensive coach coming in brand new in Houston, you kind of have to have a guy that you're going to say, this is my signature guy. This is who I'm going to lean on. And he gives them that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Ryan's had that when he was in San Francisco with Bosa, and now he's going to get his own in Houston.
And so what you're going to have is you're going to have two young cats that could be the cornerstones of your franchise for the next several years, one on offense and one on defense. And if they have the leadership, which from my understanding, Anderson does, I'm not sure about Stroud, but from my understanding, Anderson is a leader. Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about making an investment in people. And when I saw that, my first reaction was, I guess the Titans and the Colts are going to be looking up at the Jaguars and Texans for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it'll take a little bit longer for the Texans to get on their feet and be like a playoff team. But, you know, adding these two, that's huge.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I don't expect – but I do think C.J. Stroud is more NFL-ready than AR-15. AR-15's – I like AR-15 if the rest of your team's intact.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put some – you can do some things like, for instance, if Tennessee would have traded up, I kind of would have preferred AR-15. And though he may not be in a bust.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have Derrick Henry and you have Richardson at quarterback, you've got a lot of options that you can do, not just running the football, but play action, bootleg, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
that would have been interesting to see. But I like the landing spot for Richardson here at 4.
Oh, yeah. He has came to a Colts team that's really all they're lacking is a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a quarterback that's won, you know, they have a coach that's gone to the Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator with a quarterback that has the same skills as Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Richardson. I mean, look, right now, unless the Titans do something drastic in this next round, they're going to be looking up at the rest of the division.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is possibly trading up for Levis and banking on him being good, but I don't think they'll do that.
I'm more inclined to sit and wait and grab Hooker. Mm. But my only question is Hooker going to be there? Because everyone's had a chance to kind of figure out what they want to do. The teams that need a quarterback are probably on the horn right now trying to figure out, okay, what can I send to move up, et cetera, et cetera. Where the Titans sit in the second round, they might be asking a lot to expect both of those or either one of those quarterbacks to be there. If I'm Tennessee, where I'm at, I go ahead and move up and grab the guy that I like the most. I like Hooker better than Levis, but you would have to trust the front office. I mean, they're the ones that go in and talk to these guys, because to me, really what it comes down to is what's between the ears, because the physical ability between Levis and Hooker, I don't think is a lot different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Levis can actually run. It's not like he's a statue. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't run anywhere last year because he was running for his life because Kentucky sucked. But
I suppose the Titans could take Hooker at 41. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I wouldn't be surprised if Hooker drops further.
I got a feeling that they're not drafting a quarterback. I think they're going to try to ride with Tannehill.
I think so too. I think they'll give Tannehill one more shot, not a confident shot, but I think they will. And I think they'll try and, you know, build that team up a little bit more. So when the time comes to draft a quarterback, they'll be good.
It'll probably be more of a situation of draft a guy later in the draft and see if he can unseat Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill's going to be the starter going in.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to get the fan base excited, you draft Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee volunteer quarterback come in there. He'll probably be ready to roll about midseason.
Mm-hmm.
And if things aren't going well, you could kind of unleash him.
Yeah.
But if they don't
mind that at all. I don't mind that at all. But if they do that, that kind of insinuates that they're giving up on Malik Willis, which, unless you want to hear it, I'll save my opinions, but that wouldn't be a lot of opportunity.
I've already given up on Malik Willis.
I don't think he's terribly good at all. I don't mean to be rude, and I had hopes for him, but I didn't see enough from him when he did have the opportunity to play, and the fact that he got benched for Josh Dobbs, that tells me that, yeah, they need a quarterback.
It's not all his fault. He, other than the fact that he probably should have stayed in college one more year.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
But he wasn't ready.
Mm-mm.
The problem is you've got a quarterback in Tannehill who's injury prone. He's obviously only gotten older.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's not Benjamin Buttons or anything, right? So he's gotten older. He's in the last year of his contract. You can see the window. If it were cheaper to cut him loose, they would have done it, but they don't want to take the $34 million hit on the cap. So that's why they're stuck where they are. And so you're going to sit there, and to me, it's a wasted year if you don't draft a quarterback.
That's fair.
Unless there's a discussion behind closed doors that says we're tanking. Tanking. We're going to put Malik Willis behind center. We're going to tank like you've never tanked before. And Caleb Williams will be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in 2024.
I tell you what, no matter who they throw out there, that offense is going to be horrible. That Titans offense, there's no doubt about that. So it's possible that they could be in play for the number one pick next year.
I did like the pick of Skoronski.
I do too, yeah.
If they weren't going to trade up to get their quarterback of the future, then they might as well start building around. And the thing that I still wouldn't shock me that we get to today or tomorrow is a trade involving Derrick Henry.
I don't know what the Titans would get for him. They'd probably get a day two pick for him. Obviously, they can't get a round one pick, and they probably never were. But I'm interested to see if they settle for that now at this point.
They could easily get a second round pick for him, I believe, because he's still one of the top running backs in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's chopped liver. He's not Ezekiel Elliott.
No.
So if a contender is sitting there and I'm looking at the coming up picks, you got the Steelers. They have no interest in a running back. Arizona, maybe, but I don't think that's where they're going.
No.
Detroit just drafted their running back. Indy doesn't need a running back. The Rams are the interesting one because that's a team that could use a Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And then if not the Rams, number 37 overall, Seattle Seahawks. They could use a running back because they don't really – every running back they've tried to roll out there have all spit the bit. None of them can stay healthy. That's outside fair. Of that, I don't think you're trading – I mean, there's other teams that obviously have picks in the second round, but if you're making that trade, you're making it towards the top of the first round. You're not doing it at the bottom.
Well, the problem with trying to trade Henry for a top pick is a lot of those teams are rebuilding, so it wouldn't fit their vision right now to trade for a Derrick
Henry. Rams are not, though.
Rams, well, they're not, but it seems like they're kind of throwing in the towel by trading Jalen Ramsey for nothing and Aaron Donald probably retiring after this year.
That's a team that I could see take them on, and then, of course, Seattle. Seattle would make a ton of sense because Pete Carroll loves to run the football.
Oh, yeah.
And the more that you can keep the ball out of the hands of Geno Smith, the better. He is shown to be a serviceable quarterback, but he's not Aaron Rodgers in his prime. You don't want him out there chucking the ball around 40, 50 times a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a running game is something that they would definitely want to lean on if at all possible. I mean, look, there are teams later in the draft later in the second round that you could see, but I just don't know if the value is there unless you're talking about just trading them for a future So like you get a second round pick this year, and you next year you get a second or third or something.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as where a team like Tennessee could jump up, because I really do believe if you wait, I'll call it pick 37. So that is the sixth pick of the draft tonight. If you wait till pick 37, I think both of those quarterbacks are gone.
I think the only way both of them are gone by 37 is if other teams trade up ahead of them.
Detroit picks the third pick tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They need a quarterback for the future. Will Levis.
See him taking Levis.
Seattle Seahawks pick at number 37. They could use a Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker is a perfect situation for everything that I laid out with Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect situation for what Seattle's got going on Geno Smith, because they would basically look at Hooker and say, we're not going to worry about getting you on the field this year. Mm-hmm. We just want you to get healthy and we want you to develop.
Well, and there was already rumors pre-draft about the Seahawks liking him.
So that's why I say pick 37.
That would make sense.
And then if you get past 37, because I'm looking at where Tennessee is at number 41, and I just think if they sit there at 41, they're going to be looking at going after like a tight end like Darnell Washington or something at that point. Yeah. If they sit there, not only do you have the two teams I just mentioned, but the Raiders are sitting there at 38. Could they want to draft a Hendon Hooker or a Will Levis to develop behind Jimmy Garoppolo? Mm-hmm. And honestly, you could make the same argument, though I don't think it's likely, for the New Orleans Saints to do it right, who draft right in front of Tennessee at 40.
Mm-hmm. That's possible.
So I'm of the belief that if your guy is there, if you believe in either Levis or Hooker, don't care which one, why in the hell wait another year on another quarterback class? Go get him, let him develop behind a quarterback who's going to take the snaps, barring some kind of crazy injury. You've got a quarterback that can take snaps. And then you say, hey, we'll go ahead and just say it's Hooker, right? Hey, Hooker, I don't want to see your ass even thinking about putting on cleats until around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And if at that point, if the season's over, if we have crapped the bed, if we don't have any chance of doing this, this, or this, fair enough, we'll roll you out there. But if not, we as an organization are going to try to win this year, because we're in a pretty crappy division. And though the Jaguars were good last year and they look like they're on the ascension, the hangover could be real. Nothing is guaranteed with Jacksonville being good this year.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to jump on, got to talk this. Was I right or was I right, baby? Bijan Robinson. Woo! I was excited about that.
Man, I knew, because I saw the line, the betting line for where he'd get drafted, and it was at 10.5. And I'm like, man, I don't think a running back's going to go that early. But with that line, something tells me he's going to be a high pick. And I did not expect it through the Falcons. I mean, I think he's a great running back, and I think he's going to be great for the Falcons, but I don't see why they would pick him there.
I made a good little chunk of change of him being drafted in the first 10. So
and there you go.
He is, for folks who don't watch a lot of Texas football, and I get it, why would you? They haven't been very good in recent years. He is electric. And I think that's probably a term that's used too much, but it is very definitive of what Bijan Robinson is.
Mm-hmm.
He has got that other gear that other guys don't have. He can make guys miss. He's got that quick twitch that breaks ankles.
Mm-hmm.
And he, to me, is the guy that is going to for some reason, this thing won't move right. Here we go. He is a guy, to me, that could be a game changer, making the Falcons relevant in the NFC South this year, because that's another crappy division that's wide open. Mm-hmm. And we know Smith likes to run the football.
Yeah.
And he has three, what I like to call utility knives. He now, going into the 2023 season, he has Bijan Robinson, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, one of the best receivers out of the backfield in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Cordell Patterson, which you know you can put it all over the damn field.
Yeah.
And Kyle Pitts, you can put him at tight end, you can put him at split end, you can do whatever the hell you want with him. This offense can go. The only question that we're going to have is quarterback.
Yeah, there's a lot of weapons on the team, a lot of versatility as well. I don't think Ritter's the guy. I don't think he's a very good quarterback. So since they didn't do it this year, they'll probably look to draft a quarterback next year, if I had to guess. But we've been saying that for a while now, I guess. I thought they were going to take Fields a couple years ago. This year, I thought they'd maybe take a swing at a quarterback, but nope. So I don't know when it's going to be, but that is the missing piece for that Falcons team.
The Falcons pick 44. So what is that? Was that 12, 13? That's 13th pick of the draft today.
If, a little bit out of the range of the quarterback, probably.
Right. Now, there are another team that could trade up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they think Ritter deserves a shot. I don't know if they're convinced Ritter's their guy,
mm-hmm.
but I think they look at it as Ritter wasn't outstanding last year, but he wasn't Malik Willis either. Yeah. He wasn't like just a train wreck. And only got a handful of starts. I think it was only three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember pounding the table going, can we put him in the starting lineup? I mean, it's enough already.
Mm-hmm.
I could see tinsel on the tree. We still got Mariota out there running, kicking the ball out of bounds. So I'm willing to give Ritter a shot. And with these, look, you got Drake London. What would be interesting to me, and a guy that might be there, let me lay this on you. Because this is a need for them. This is, take your fantasy football hat off for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put your football hat on. A guy who's still hanging around there, their biggest need to me, if I trade up for Atlanta, I'm going to go grab Osiris Torrance out of Florida.
I like it. Build that interior offensive line.
That interior line was a disaster last year. Mm-hmm. They were shuffling guys in and out. I mean, I must have got nine or ten text messages from the Falcons organization asking me, you know, what kind of shape I'm in.
Like, well, hey, Pears, don't give him any ideas, though, because I like Torrance. I wouldn't mind him in Arizona.
Like, Pears is shape, if you want me out there, you know, rolling around. But in all seriousness, that would be a phenomenal get for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at – who is this? I don't know whose mock draft this is, but someone made a mock draft off of what's still available. Mm-hmm. And they've got him going – they've got Torrance going number 47 to the Commanders.
I don't think he slides that much. Atlanta,
baby, let's go!
I don't think he slides that much. And actually, he's one of two guys I want in Arizona at 33.
I mean, Honest Engine, if they're not going to go quarterback, Tennessee should really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Start building that offensive line.
That'd be a great pick.
Because if you get Torrance and you get
Skoronski.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he's a tackle.
Yeah. I
have a feeling Skoronski's going to be an interior, but that's okay. You get
two good guards.
And then maybe that's something you got to go get in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Because Skoronski, the biggest knock on him is his arm length.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, technique off the charts. Very talented player.
Mm-hmm.
Expect him to be in the NFL for 10 plus years, which is what you want out of a first round pick.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Because if he's a hell of a guard, and then you get. If you got Torrance on one side and Skoronski on the other side, I mean, come on, let's go.
And they don't necessarily have to go with Torrance there at 41 either. They could definitely pick up a tackle. There's still good tackles on the board right now. I know DeJuan Jones from Ohio State. He's still there.
Right, but honestly, for the value,
mm-hmm.
I would go Torrance and then worry about grabbing a tackle in the third round.
I wouldn't
unless that. There is one guy I do like that's still hanging out there, Dewan Jones.
Yep,
Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That dude is a beast.
Yeah, he'd be great. He'd be a right tackle, but he'd be great.
6'8", 375 pounds. Now we're talking turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a way to move up and grab both of them, do it.
Then you got that would really.
You got a wall, then you go, you know what? Maybe we don't need a quarterback to win in this league. Maybe we just go all wildcat about it with Derrick Henry.
That'd work. It's worked before.
One thing is, if you strengthen that offensive line, not only will Henry eat, but the other thing is you might be able to get Tannehill through a season healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know that's a novel concept, but maybe your quarterback can stay upright.
I know. It's pretty foreign to me, too. It's pretty foreign to me, too. I know what you mean.
What was your biggest surprise yesterday?
My biggest surprise? Probably Jahmyr Gibbs going 12. That threw me off big time.
Oh, dude, that was – come on.
That was unreal.
Oof. That was – I'm not even saying he's not going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying Detroit Lions, did you see their war room?
They were pumped.
They look like me after the Braves won the World Series, man. High-fiving everybody, running around the neighborhood, popping champagne. I'll let you reached on an undersized running back with what was the 12th pick?
Mm-hmm. Is that what they got? Yeah.
That's not a reason to celebrate. You might sit there and go, all right, guys, we got our guy. We might have drafted him a little too high, but
mm-hmm.
he's the guy we wanted. Nobody, we couldn't find a partner to move back with. Okay. But they were acting like that they had actually done something there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were actually, I heard that they were thinking about taking him at 6 if they couldn't trade down. But luckily the Cardinals saved them from doing that. But that would have been ridiculous.
That would have been very Detroit Lions.
It would have been one of the funniest moments I've seen watching the draft in a long time.
I thought it was a great job by Arizona to go and trade back up and get the guy they wanted, Paris Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Right? Look, yeah, we still got our top guy, and we got a pick next year from the Texans. It worked out perfect.
Exactly. I thought it was a great job. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, Tones is going to join us, and we're going to talk about some cool games and talk some more NFL draft. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today. Braves Country HD on YouTube.com and 99.1 FM, The Key. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. Sports
Radio. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. NBA playoffs continue tonight. There's a doubleheader on ESPN. Kings at Warriors, 8 o'clock Eastern. Game 6. Golden State trying to close it out in their home building. Lakers will try to do the same. They're up 3-2 heading into Game 6 against the Grizzlies. Lakers, 4.5-point favorite. Warriors, 7.5. In the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Islanders host the Hurricanes. New York on the brink of elimination must get a win in their home building to force a Game 7. 7:30 Eastern, TNT. Bruins try to close out the Panthers one more time. Game 6 in Florida. Stars at Wild. Dallas has a chance to win the series on the road. Puck drops at 9:30. And at 10 o'clock, it's the Avalanche and the Kraken. Kraken, one win away from their first series win in franchise history, all begins at 10 Eastern. Major League Baseball, the headliner tonight, the Atlanta Braves head to the New York Mets. 7:10 first pitch. We'll have it play by play, pitch by pitch, right here on Braves Country HD YouTube facebook.com/@Braves Country. Expected on the Hill tonight, Max Fried versus David Peterson. Phillies and Astros, 8:10 Eastern, first pitch. Aaron Nola versus Framber Valdez. Rest of the league looks like this. Royals at Twin at 4:10. Orioles are at the Tigers. That game begins at 6:40. Cubs at Marlins at 6:40 as well, while the Pirates at Nationals, red hot Pittsburgh, 18-8 on the year, -130 on the money line. Mariners are at the Blue Jays tonight at 7:07. Red Sox begin their series at home against the Guardians at 7:10. Rays are at the White Sox again after an absolute beatdown last night of Chicago. And the Yankees are at the Rangers at 8:05. Clark Schmidt versus Jacob DeGrom. Angels and Brewers, 8:10 Eastern. The Diamondbacks and Rockies at 8:40. While the Reds are at the A's and the Cardinals renew their rivalry with the Dodgers in Los Angeles, Jack Flaherty versus Dustin May. Some of the highlights from the NFL draft from last night. Bryce Young went number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, quarterback from Alabama. Other players of interest, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State quarterback, number two overall to Houston, while Will Anderson went back-to-back with the quarterback to Houston as they traded back up, edge rusher from Alabama. Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida, is now an Indianapolis Colt. Jalen Carter is a Philadelphia Eagle. He went number nine overall. And he'll be reunited, repaired, and sent back up with Nolan Smith, who went number 30 overall to the Eagles. Both Bulldogs headed north to Philly. Jackson Smith-Njigba, wide receiver, Ohio State, number 20 overall to Seattle. Zay Flowers heads to Baltimore to try to pair up with OBJ and Lamar Jackson. Jordan Addison, some believe the best receiver in the draft, Southern Cal wideout, former Biletnikoff winner out of Pittsburgh originally. He goes number 24 overall to the Minnesota Vikings. And the Atlanta Falcons got their man, Bijan Robinson, running back out of Texas, number 8 overall. Jacksonville Jaguars grab offensive tackle Anton Harrison out of Oklahoma. Miles Murphy out of Clemson heads to the Bengals, their first offensive lineman drafted since 2001. His teammate Brian Breezy drafted by the New Orleans Saints. Some of the bigger names still on the board heading into day two. Will Levis, quarterback from the University of Kentucky, and Hendon Hooker, quarterback for Tennessee. Joey Porter Jr. is still available, defensive back from Penn State. Round two begins tonight at 7 Eastern. The Steelers are on the clock. They'll be followed by the Cardinals, Lions, Colts and Rams, Seahawks, Raiders and Panthers. Saints draft number 40 overall, the Titans at 41. And the Atlanta Falcons, they'll have the 44th pick overall here in the second round. The Miami Dolphins will finally get their first pick after having to forfeit the first rounder. They draft 51st overall. Rounds two and three completed by night's end. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
Why do you keep your mouth shut? I'm not taking off my clothes today. I'm styling and profiling. You just be glad I'm here looking the way I look.
I'm chair. That's the sound of Severe hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long.
Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves country. So pull up an armchair, join us for Braves country baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel.
Something on your mind?
Just want to let you know you're sitting in my chair.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, for a man that don't go heeled, you run your mouth kind of reckless, don't you?
No need to go heeled to get the bulge on a tub like you.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
I'm real scared.
I can see that in your eyes.
Friday. Hopefully we get Braves Mets. Not looking good up in Gotham. A lot of rain heading in. But if we do have Braves Mets, we'll have it. Braves Country HD first pitch 7:10. Tomorrow 4:10. Sunday we'll have it at 1:40. And Monday 1:10. So four games back to back to back to back. And joining us is Tampa Tones himself. Mr. Tones, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm doing great, brother. One of my favorite sports times of the year, other than the fall when you got postseason baseball, NFL, the beginning of NBA and NHL. It's draft season. You got MLB, you got NHL and NBA playoffs. Yesterday was awesome with how much there was on. I can't wait for tonight to do it all over again.
Yeah, I'm going to get this up here in 1 second. So we talked about the Bijan Robinson, which I love the pick. I'm going to share.
I felt like it was kind of a luxury pick for Atlanta. I don't necessarily hate the pick, but I feel like it would be better off if they were a little more built up than what they were. I think he's going to be a beast, but I think they had a pretty good back.
Hey, I disagree, because nowadays you have to have more than one running back. And then the other thing is Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons run more than anybody in the National Football League. And they kept running into the problem of the number of carries you can put on Cordell Patterson and Algier, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the next thing they need to do is build up that offensive line, but I think it's a great move. And you got to look at what they did in free agency. I think the Falcons are building it the right way.
I think it's a luxury pick. I think it's a great playmaker, but I think there's a lot more needs on that team than just the running back position.
Well, what that comes down to is this, and I'll say this to my dying day. In the top 10 of the National Football League draft, you don't necessarily want to go with need. You want to go with best player available. And you could make the argument that Bijan Robinson was top two or three players in the entire NFL draft.
That's very fair. I give you that for sure. He's a generational talent, seemingly. We'll see if it pays off.
I want to draft a long snapper because they need a long snapper at number 8. I want to let's go. Let's get some talent in here. Let's get some breakaway. You're just getting nervous because you're a Tampa fan. That's where this is coming from.
No, honestly, I think, I like what the Bucs did. I think that Kalijah Kancey was a decent pick for where they were drafting 19th overall, and I think it helps, equify that little Bijan Robinson pick a little bit.
Yeah, were you not a little shocked that they went with Kancey there?
I think the only reason why I wasn't shocked is because it was truly so unpredictable. I feel like I've seen the Bucks do this is the first year in a long time where the Bucks are mocked pretty much everything. Now, a lot of it edge, a lot of it tackle, but I did see D-line, wide receiver, tight end, Will Levis in some mocks even. So it was one of those things where no one got a truly good feel on the Bucks. And I'll tell you this. Jason Light loves drafting defensive linemen. We've seen the Eagles doing it lately as well. It seems like this guy has a chance to be a day one starter for the Bucs, because besides Vita Vea, Logan Hall, and Greg Gaines, they don't have anyone else on that line. So a little surprising in terms of there were other players available, but at the end of the day, I feel like no one really had a good pulse on what Tampa was going to do.
did you start thinking when you started seeing Levis and Hooker fall and whatnot, were you thinking maybe there's a chance?
My pops thought, he kept saying, Will Levis, look out for Levis. My biggest thing is this, not necessarily a gripe on Hooker or Levis. I prefer Hooker over Levis personally.
Don't we all always prefer hookers over
over mayonnaise? They go hand in hand. Anyway,
I'll take a hooker over a Willie any day of the week.
I just think that Todd Bowles talking about either Willie or Hooker. I think that Todd Bowles just is coaching for his life, and I think the last thing he would do is add another quarterback who might not beat out Baker Mayfield nor Kyle Trask at that point in time. So I think the Bucs still have a developmental quarterback, Kyle Trask, at this point, and they probably don't view Levis or Hooker too much more ahead of him at this point in time to make them draft one. And hey, now if they're really bad this year, you put yourself in a position to draft a Michael Penix Jr., a Caleb Williams, or Drake May at the front end of next year.
I think that there is a very good chance that Tampa Bay is building a base. And as long as they've had the conversations with the coaching staff and the front office together and said, hey, your job's not in jeopardy, so don't be afraid to tank. They could be gunning for Caleb Williams next year. And no fan really wants that, because no fan wants to go, oh, man, I want to sit through freaking 17 games of slop. But then when you come out on the other side, you're extremely happy. Unless you end up like Bobby and you get your guy and your guy ends up being Kyler Murray.
All right. What did I say? What did I do to deserve that?
It's what you didn't say. That's what you didn't do.
Oh, man.
Tonight. See, okay, Tones, of all the picks, which one shocked you the most from last night?
You guys already went with the Detroit running back, so I'll change it up a little bit. My most surprising pick outside of the Detroit running back, and nothing against him, I'm shocked Jack Campbell went as high as he did. I thought he'd go in the first round. I thought it'd be in the back end of the first round. I thought it'd be in the 28 to 31 range, not necessarily in the top 20. But Detroit swung for the fences with both picks. Both could pay off big time, but both could have also been selected a little later in the draft as well. I feel like they could have traded back each of those picks and got both of their guys still. Neither are terrible players necessarily. I just think both were very surprising.
I'll tell you what, one of the best moves of the night was the Philadelphia Eagles drafting Jalen Carter.
And Nolan Smith.
And Nolan Smith. So not only does Jalen Carter get drafted in the top 10, so that keeps his ego and that keeps him happy. But here's the thing. That is a perfect perfect landing spot for Jalen Carter. He's going to go up there with Nolan Smith and reunite with Davis and a couple other guys that he's played with. And the Philadelphia Eagles are turning into the Georgia Bulldogs North. Mm-hmm. And that defense is going to be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
N'Kobe Dean.
Yep. Maybe they could take Ringo in round two.
Who?
What's that?
They could take Ringo in round two, maybe two. Add another Georgia defender.
I was very disappointed that Jacksonville didn't grab Nolan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a chat with a Jaguar fan. We're going back and forth, and he's like, who's the pick? Of course, Jacksonville kept trading back. And I kept saying, Nolan Smith.
I was hoping he'd fall to 33.
I didn't hate the pick that they did get. Let me light him up a little bit. Anton Harrison. I remember one of the biggest things I remember about him is that when he didn't play in the bowl game, the Cheez-It Bowl against Florida State, there was a lot of talk about how significant that was. So I went back and watched some tape. Really good player. And it was a position of need. But I think Nolan Smith is going to be absolutely special.
I wouldn't have minded if the Bucs nabbed Nolan Smith. Anton Harrison, not a bad pick. And you wonder if Jacksonville did that as one of their tackles is possibly looming a suspension to begin the season now. after a potential PED violation. So maybe that's what the Jaguars had in mind.
My guy here that everybody poo-pooed on, Miles Murphy, goes to Cincinnati. I think that's a huge get.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to see that was the first defensive lineman that the Bengals have drafted in the first round since 2000. Is that the 2001 or 2002?
Mm.
What? How do you go 20-something years and not draft a defensive lineman? I think it was Schefter that tweeted that out, so I'm assuming it's true. I didn't go back and Wikipedia look it up and everything, but I was like, damn.
Well, when you get home run picks like Geno Atkins in round four and, you know, Damaso Petko in the later rounds, they've gotten a couple big names later on. They've done a pretty good job drafting D linemen later on.
But the point is 20-something years.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, that really goes to a mindset of an organization.
It's insane. And they have put a lot of money in those positions the past couple of years. They brought in a couple defensive linemen, maybe.
But that's why. That's why they've had to spend the money, is because they're not drafting them.
Right, and it's paid off to this point.
What's the one pick you were most disappointed in?
Oh, man. Oof. I would say the pick I was most disappointed in, honestly, I think the wide receiver, I know that it was needed, but I think the wide receiver pick for, what was the kid's name out of TCU? Quentin
Johnson.
Quentin Johnson. I thought the Chargers would scroll down a little bit, McGee. I thought that Quentin Johnson pick right there. I thought the Chargers, you know, they have Mike Williams. They have Keenan Allen. I know Keenan Allen isn't getting along great with them, but they said they plan on.
I think they're tired of both him and especially Williams never being healthy.
And that's a fair point. I just thought, you know, that the Chargers could have went in a different direction. Nothing against Quentin Johnson. I think he is a first-round talent, but I think for the Chargers, they could have mixed and matched a little more.
Does that not become scary thinking about those three guys and Eckler? With Justin Herbert.
Well, if Eckler doesn't get traded.
I don't think he will, because I don't think they're going to give him any value, and they're just going to be like, what are you going to do, sit?
Were you guys surprised?
You do Melvin Gordon yourself? Is that what you're going to do, become irrelevant?
Were you guys surprised to see the wide receiver market take so long to get moving yesterday?
Yeah. This is my most disappointing one right after that. Say Flowers. One of my favorite players to watch. And now he's going to go into oblivion where all receivers that go to Baltimore and play with Lamar Jackson go to never be heard of again until they get traded.
And I think my most disappointing pick was probably Emmanuel Forbes by Washington. I'm not sure why they picked him that early, especially with Gonzalez on the board.
Yeah.
I think with Flowers, they were trying to replace Hollywood Brown, essentially. And that'll be fine his first couple of years. He's a rookie. He's not going to say anything. Wait till year three. When he's like, I am tired of run blocking. Will you throw me the damn ball? Because I'm not convinced in any shape or form that just because Lamar Jackson has signed his contract, that all of a sudden means everything is hunky-dory in Baltimoreville. There were some ugly things said during this whole negotiation process.
Mm-hmm.
Is it all going to be forgotten? Anyways, let's get to Cool Games. We still haven't come up with a good song for that. But anyways, we will. Cool Games. Bobby and Tom's Cool Games of the Weekend.
There we go. It's a Friday.
That's probably not very good, but anyways.
I thought it was fantastic.
Maybe we should update that and turn it into a rap. Okay. I'm going to give y'all one because it's kind of a dull weekend. We're going to assume the NFL draft is one of your cool games. Everybody's going to watch. We get that. But it, where we're almost at the cusp of getting into the second round. At that point, we're going to load it back up to two games. But I'm going to give you one game to convince the audience. You got to watch this game this weekend. Bobby, I'll start with you.
Well, you mentioned round two, and that's exactly where I'm going. Tomorrow night, the Suns-Nuggets series kicks off. It's at 8:30. I think this is going to be a great series. It's the one seed in the West versus Suns team that's been playing great with KD. And this team, these two teams have a lot of history together recently in the playoffs, a lot of jawing at each other. So I'm expecting a lot more of that. The Nuggets, they're a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow night, so it'll be a close game. But I'll save my prediction for that for another time.
All right, Tones, what is your cool game of the weekend?
I'm going Saturday night, and it's the Maple Leafs at Tampa Bay Lightning, 7:08 Eastern time puck drop. Maple Leafs have a 3-2 series lead in this one. They haven't won NHL playoff series in over 20 years at this point, so it's been more than two decades for the Maple Leafs. You know how bad their fans want it. I will say this. If Tampa Bay forces a game seven and they got to go back to Toronto, that Maple Leafs team is going to be really nervous out there. And this isn't the Tampa Bay team you want to let back in the series. I think Toronto made a big mistake letting Tampa Bay hang around last night. Good job by Tampa Bay to extend the series a little bit. All they need to force is a game seven, and this thing could get dicey. That starts tomorrow night on Tampa's ice at Amalie Arena, 7:08 Eastern.
All right, I'm going to the Diamond. And with the weather the way it's going to be, I'm just going to give you Braves Mets. Don't know when they're going to play. Hoping they play tonight, but it's not looking great. Hope they play tomorrow. It's not looking great. I hope they play Sunday. It's not looking great. There's a huge front coming in, and it's sitting on top of New York, and it's going to move slowly. Hopefully, it gets out of the way, and we get one, maybe two games this weekend. And then, of course, the Monday, I want to call it Monday morning, but it's really Monday afternoon, 1:10 first pitch. We're going to carry every game here on Braves Country HD that is played. But just tune in and hopefully I don't get another electrical storm that knocks me off. But cool games, whatever is actually played between Braves and Mets. This is a huge series. I'll tell you something else. There's some pretty good series in Major League Baseball this weekend, including Phillies Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a rematch.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun
Cardinals one. Dodgers.
I'm looking forward to Cubs Marlins, although it's not the flashiest of series, but we don't play the Marlins often, so they look different this year. That'll be fun.
Mariners Blue Jays is kind of a fun one too.
Yeah, that has some potential behind it.
Cubs Marlins, I think it's Stroman versus Lizardo on the mound tonight. Yep, Stroman versus Lizardo. That should be a really good pitching matchup.
Mm-hmm. Lizardo's had a tremendous start to the year, and he's paying off dividends. They traded Marte for him, and Marte was a rental by Oakland. That could be a really good piece for the long haul for Miami.
How long before Marcus Stroman falls off?
I'm going to say after October when we're hoisting the World Series trophy.
I don't know if it's got anything to do with what we chatted about Hooker versus Willie, but all of a sudden some porn tender chat popped into our YouTube channel. Did y'all see that?
It's Will Levis trying to raise his draft stock.
Look down and go, what in the heck is this?
Man, those things are relentless sometimes, and you wonder how the heck they find stuff like this. I mean,
we've had so many of those pop up over the years during the baseball broadcasts. I think I've blocked almost every single one of them because it just gives you an option. Hide this user on this channel. Yes. And if you do that, they'll continue to chat in there, but you won't see it. And no one, anybody else will see it. Hmm. So I I thought I had gotten them all, and then all of a sudden I make one Hooker Willie comment, and here it comes again. Bobby, what is your lock in your walk-off?
My lock. I told you I was saving my prediction for later. It's because I have Suns +2.5 as my lock of the week. I think they're going to take game one. I think they'll do it on the road. I think the Suns are a much better team, and I think they'd probably win this game at about 6, but I think they set the tone of this series tonight or tomorrow night and pick up a win on the road. And then my walk-off is enjoy day 2 of the NFL draft tonight. Hopefully all of our teams get good players, make good picks here, and yeah, enjoy the draft.
I hope you're wrong, because I'm really pulling against KD.
I don't blame you for that. I'm not rooting for the Suns. This is what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't want it to be that easy for someone to whine and complain and get out of their situation and then cut down the nets.
Mm-hmm.
While he was cutting down the nets.
No pun intended. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Oh man!
Got the nets at their knees. Thankfully, my boys got through, but I am not convinced that Boston's going very far.
Well, you don't have to worry about the Bucks at least.
No, but I'll tell you what, man, the Heat look like problems.
Mm-hmm. Can't argue that.
I think there's a very good chance that Jimmy Butler finds his way back into the real finals,
mm-hmm,
and not the bubble finals. I'm more excited for that series than I am any other series that's about to come up in either sport, either hockey or basketball. The Heat versus Knicks. That is going to be a fun series. And all eyes are going to be on Jimmy Buckets. Or they're dropping 56. But, you know, if he doesn't succeed, all he's got to do is think about what Gianna said, and that is, there's no failure in sports.
No failure in sports.
You know who says that? Losers! Losers! there's no failure in sports. All right, brother, we'll see you next week. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tones and I are going to put a bow on this and talk a little more NFL draft and give you our locks. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country HD. You're listening to Braves Country Today on 99.1 FM.
Well, you know, I want to say one thing in all seriousness. I feel sorry for you people that don't drink. I mean it, because when you wake up in the morning, that's as good as you're going to feel all day.
Armchair.
Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're talking about a bunch of unproven kids who were in the prom. You know, literally, they were in the prom like 6 months ago at their high school.
No, they weren't because they were all gone. Exactly.
Okay, they were at a
party. He's probably from a promless teenagers.
If he's from a Big Ten state, if he's from a Big Ten state, he didn't have prom. I can guarantee you that.
They were at a virtual prom. Anyway, so, yeah, it's tough for Wisconsin.
That's called porn.
Stop it. They get a break this week because I
got
think
a mess
Nebraska
to clean up, guys.
Yeah.
Virtual prom.
There's my walk-off for the day. Thanks, Mac. I got to drive my keyboard out now.
Armchair.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Wife could kill. He's been buying beer since August. Running cold, and 30 friends are on alert. That's all the diddle holds. He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer.
Welcome back. Sitting this up here, Tone, so we can take a look at this, looking at the second round. So whatever site this is, they're it's a little kooky because they got the Steelers still sitting up in round one, but they are round two as there wasn't a 32nd pick. So Steelers got the first pick, and then after that, I'm going to drop this down a little bit so we can see the other teams.
That pick holds a lot of value for Pittsburgh, whether you're looking at Joey Porter Jr. or you're looking at trading down. That's like a first-round pick, so you got a lot of value out of that if you're Pittsburgh.
Who is your top guy left on the board right now?
I'd have to go with Porter Jr., right? I'm a little surprised, and this isn't a homer pick, but I'm surprised he's still there. I thought he was better than a couple of the cornerbacks and defensive backs selected last night, and I think that'd be a home run for Pittsburgh to get him in round two after getting a mammoth Broderick Jones in round one. Then you get Porter Jr. in round two, and he plays for the team his dad, the legendary Steeler, played for so long. I think he's the best ceiling potential-wise, and he has a high floor as well, in my opinion.
All right, I'm not going to go with the obvious pick, which would be one of the quarterbacks, either Hooker or Levis. I'm going to go, I think the best player available. I can't be convinced, even though I know he's one of the highest rated, that a tight end is the best available. Because tight ends, to me, it comes down to where do you land and what kind of system do you get in, and are you taking an advantage of? Obviously, Michael Meyer sitting right there. I mean, I just want to draft him on his name, but yeah. I'm a little surprised that Brian Branch, the safety out of Alabama, is still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, you know, the other kid that I'm kind of big on is the kid Torrance out of Florida, the offensive guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're looking for playmaking ability and whatnot, that Jonathan Mingo, man, 6'2", 220, and we know Ole Miss has produced some receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Mingo is probably my go-to best playmaker left that isn't a quarterback. But this is a quarterback driven league.
Yeah, and there are a good amount of, you know, that's tough. There's a lot of talent left.
If you could wave your magic wand, who are you taking with the Bucks here in the second round?
I'd love, well, I'm assuming Brian Branch is gone by the time we pick. Cause
No. Just tell me who you like that's still there.
Okay. I'd love either DeJuan Jones, offensive lineman, or I'd love Brian Branch or Sidney Brown, safeties from Alabama or U of I. I think that both would be perfect fits for the Bucks.
My dream scenario for Tennessee would be to grab Hooker. And for Atlanta, I would like to see them get the kid Torrance out of Florida, because that is a huge need for them right now, is the interior line. And if they don't go that route, then honestly, if you don't get Torrance, Tippmann out of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
Schmitz out of Minnesota, I know it seems narrow-minded, but I want to draft my linemen out of the SEC or the Big Ten. I can be talked into if it's a really good ACC prospect. I'm just not a big fan of drafting players high that play college football on the West Coast.
I agree with that. I think we've seen that perfect example last night. Not many West Coast guys taken.
And I understand. I'm probably being narrow-minded because I'm the Southern college football fan and I've grown up my whole life watching college football in the South. But, man, the proof is in the pudding. All the talent comes through into the Southeastern Conference. When it comes to linemen, to me it's SEC and then it's Big Ten. When it comes to defensive players, to me it's SEC and ACC as far as speed. And then when it comes to quarterbacks, that's where I'm a little more open-minded and say, hey, I don't mind going out and getting a quarterback who's played in the Big 12 or out on the West Coast because they're usually chucking the ball around. Same thing with receivers. I'm all about, go get me a receiver that played in the Pac-12. I'm fine with that.
USC's had pretty good receiver success the past couple NFL drafts between Drake London, Michael Pittman Jr., now Addison went in round one yesterday.
That one, we didn't even touch on that one, the Addison draft pick. That one surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many needs on the defensive end of their the defensive side of the ball. Ranked dead last in 7 of the 8 major categories in defense last year in the National Football League. Dead last! And you take your first round pick and go get a wide receiver.
Mm.
I guess they look at it as the best defense is a good offense. If we're scoring every time, you're going to have a hard time keeping up with us. I mean, I guess if you're a fan, you're probably just excited. Like, screw it, man. We're going to go out there and just try to outscore everybody. But
I still can't believe how the receivers fell. I mean, they fell a little late, and then they all got clumped up and went, like, back to back to back to back. The draft is funny in that way sometimes and how things work out. A position doesn't get taken for an entire 2021 picks. The next thing you know, the next 3 or 4 out of 5 are the same exact position. It's insane, man. Nothing's like the NFL draft.
Yeah, who do you think's immediately on the hot seat for their draft pick?
I could see Texans trading back and trying to replenish a little bit of their depth after yesterday trading up for that third pick. I thought, yeah, good move. You know, you get the second pick of the draft, you get the third pick, you get a good quarterback, you get the best defender. But at the same time, they did give up a lot. So I could see pick number 33 being a hot commodity for a quarterback team that might want a Hendon Hooker or that might want a Will Levis. You know, there's a couple of teams out there like a Detroit Lions who have Jared Goff and nothing else, like a Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith and nothing else, the Rams after Stafford, not much. Some teams could use a backup young QB, and I think the Texans would be willing to trade down and accumulate more picks as they continue to try and build a very needy roster.
The Texans, to me, I know it was extremely, what's the right term? I know it was probably a little overzealous what they did, but I liked it. As a fan of football, I liked what they did. I liked the fact that they said, we're not screwing around here. We got a guy that we really want, and we think he's a difference maker. We've already gotten our quarterback. Now we're going to go get our defensive playmaker. And now we've got something to build around. And though we might have mortgaged a few of our picks, they really didn't give up that much to go up to where they got. And if it's a guy that you think is a game changer, I say do it.
They did jump a lot. I like that trade for both. I think the Cardinals did well with the trade back, and I think Houston did well. And I bet you they liked Will Anderson more than C.J. Stroud, but you can't mess around with the quarterback. So they wanted to make sure they got Stroud. Then they traded for the third pick. If you take Will Anderson and then you plan on taking Stroud with the third pick, you're going to get a lot more callers for pick number three.
Well, that's the thing, is that if you go out there and you trade, I mean, if you had both picks in your pocket, it doesn't really matter who you pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, if you draft Anderson first and say, we're going to trade up. Well, what if all of a sudden Tennessee Titans got overzealous and threw the kitchen sink at Arizona? And then there you sit going, well, I don't know what to do now.
Or what if the Colts, I mean, I know the Colts like Richardson a lot, it turns out, but heading into last night, you never know if they would have traded up at that point and got CJ Stroud then as well.
Oh, I definitely think if Stroud's available, the Colts take him over Richardson.
Correct.
I've been saying all along that I like Richardson long term, but he's got to be in the right fit. I'm not convinced that it is Indianapolis, but we'll just see. But the one thing is, they do have a coaching staff that, look, they got guys coming in that help develop Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So the blueprint is there. I don't see a lot of things derailing his success. The only thing that could really derail his success would be injuries, right? Because he's definitely going to be a guy that's going to be leaning on his running ability.
Mm-hmm.
But he might be one of these guys that's a hell of a lot more dangerous in the NFL than he was in college.
I could see that.
And he's going to be on that turf in Indianapolis, and he is going to be fun to watch.
Him and Jonathan Taylor in a backfield together, ooh, that could get dangerous. If those two are splashing and dashing, it's going to be crazy. Now, the thing is this, too. The Colts, they still need wide receiver, tight end, but they have a pretty high pick tonight, and there's still a lot of good wide receivers, tight ends available out there for them to take as well. So the Colts are in another good spot tonight with another top pick.
Yeah. The Colts have the fourth pick of tonight.
Yes, sir.
But I mean, that's what happens when you suck. You're going to draft high.
Yeah.
Texans are drafting right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. How did Pittsburgh end up with the first pick tonight? Any idea?
Oof, that's a good question. Oh, isn't it in the Claypool trade with the Bears? I think they got that pick for Chase Claypool with the Bears because the Bears had two second-round picks. They kept the one they got for Roquan Smith. Then they traded their own for Chase Claypool.
Okay.
Because they would have been first overall last night, and then they traded back. So that makes sense. Yeah, they would have been first overall again tonight, but they traded it.
Are there any other quarterbacks not named Hendon Hooker or Will Levis that intrigue you in this draft?
I like two, and their names are DTR from UCLA. I think that he could be a proven guy who goes into his system and doesn't necessarily compete for the starting job. I think he could fill a void for a backup hole and maybe long-term be a rookie who ends up panning out, maybe for a team that needs a guy ready now, like a Brock Purdy type. And I like Malik Cunningham as well from Louisville. I think he rushed for 20 touchdowns 1 year. Again, not as a starter right away, but more of the Brock Purdy experience veteran. Totally different game style of play Malik Cunningham and DTR have than Brock Purdy. But these are veterans who could scramble as well, who have a lot of college experience, who could maybe be a good backup to start and then work their way up into the starter's role, whether it's forced by injury or whether you're just looking at what you got in a younger quarterback.
The guy that I'm most interested in is Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA. I mean, man, 6'2", 203. And folks who may not have watched UCLA, and fair enough, It's not like UCLA is on everybody's radar east of the Mississippi, but he has got some, man, he's got everything.
Yep. I love DTR.
Now, I don't know how that's going to translate in the NFL, but I am interested to see. What I don't understand is when I go to pull this up and I'm looking for Cunningham, I don't see him anywhere on this list. And I don't understand that. The top 12 quarterbacks, excuse me. I don't see him anywhere on ESPN's depth chart list for the draft.
Maybe they just hate him. Maybe, and you know, some lists do have him off. Some lists have him like right around the fringe top 10. Some might not like him too much, but to each your own, I guess. I like the experience he brings to the table.
Could they possibly have him in another position that's not quarterback?
No, I think that, you know, he's just one of those guys where he's been around college for so long and, you know, he's more of a legs and arms guy at this point that some probably figure, maybe there's no point of fixing him. But, yeah, I mean, and there's still some QBs left, Clayton Tune, Jake Harner, DTR. So, you know, there's a lot of names left. I like Malik Cunningham as a late day three pick. If he is there, though, I guess ESPN doesn't, so...
It just surprises me because Stetson Bennett's on this list, but he's not. I thought maybe I missed something and he had like backstroked and was going back to college, but no, they said he's declared. I don't understand why he's tell you someone else that no one's really making a big deal about. I guess it's arm strength because he's 6'2", 207. It's not like he's a little guy. Max Duggan out of TCU. All that guy did was win, and nobody's talking about him.
Nope, that's surprising as well to me.
He may not be a guy you're going to build your franchise around, but he might be one hell of a valuable backup.
Mm-hmm.
I could see going out and getting a guy like him to play backup in the NFL, a career backup type thing, and him cutting out 7 to 10 year career just sitting back there. I'll tell you something else that's interesting is that it's trending where they don't believe Stetson Bennett's going to get drafted.
Yeah. I mean, given, I don't think
that's off the field stuff, but
yeah. And you know, there's off field stuff as well, but Stetson Bennett, man, at one point after the championship, you would think surely at least round 6 or 7, he'd be a locked-in thing. Now, the quarterback plunge is crazy. You see it every year with quarterbacks. It's really an unpredictable thing. I did look up on Walter Football. They have Cunningham and Duggan in their top 8, so it just goes to show there's a lot of parity out there. For the late-round QBs, at least. For the later-round QBs.
I mean, they've got Tanner Morgan out of Minnesota on this list. Tyson Badgett. From Colorado on this list.
Sheesh.
Tanner McKee from Stanford. Another guy who's kind of interesting to me that as far as I know, I haven't heard him talked about one time. What about Aiden O'Connell from Purdue? I mean, he's 6'3", 213 pounds, and he put up some numbers.
Mm-hmm. I like Aiden O'Connell as well. You know, he's one of those guys who could hang in the pocket and learn. And you think that after – I think we might see a late run on quarterbacks, especially after the Brock Purdy thing. It wouldn't surprise me round 5, round 6, round 7 come up. A lot of these names we're talking about right now start flying off the board.
And I just realized this list that I'm looking at showing the top 12 – that's an updated list where the other three were taken off. So this is actually top 15.
Because
The three that were drafted were taken off and it's been reset of 1 through 12. I was assuming it was 4 through 12 at this point, but no.
Wow.
Jake Haner out of Fresno State. I don't think anyone ain't part of this guy.
No, I don't think so.
He's being ranked just under Hendon Hooker. He's 6 feet tall, played at Fresno State. And his biggest knock is he's kind of erratic when he throws the deep ball. That might be important in the National Football League. I can't believe that he's rated over Dorian Thompson Robinson.
That is surprising to me. And Tanner McKee, 6'6". That's a big body. You know, he'll get a shot purely just out of body size at the very least.
I'll tell you someone else who's going to be hurt by his former teammate is Jaren Hall out of BYU. Because I don't think anybody wants to take the risk of the BYU quarterback, 6 foot quarterback from BYU, because of how that turned out with Zach Wilson.
That's terrible. Yeah, and you know he's in a tough spot now. I think that once you draft, it's like, you know, I mean, if Drake May gets drafted high next year and he craps the bed, you know, between him and Trubisky, North Carolina is going to be put on the back burner. That does matter when people evaluate quarterbacks. That's what you heard about Ohio State for the longest time. All their quarterbacks have kind of been meh, but now between Fields and Stroud, you're starting to see them turn the corner.
There's some good receivers left, though. I'll tell you what, you got Jonathan Mingo, you got Hyatt and Tillman from Tennessee, Marvin Mims, Josh Downs. All these guys are still available out there.
Between receiver and tight ends, a boatload of good pass catchers still out there.
And I think by far the best running back still out there is Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA.
He's going to be a stud.
And he got overshadowed because of Bijan, but Roshan Johnson, who was Bijan's backup, he's a powerful runner too.
Yeah, he is.
And I think it's almost a disservice to have him rated as the fourth best running back on the board right now. I would take him over a Shane from Texas A&M. I would take him over Miller from TCU. I'd probably go with Charbonnet just because Charbonnet, to me, is kind of like the complete package. But I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a guy to eat it between the tackles, move the chains, very versatile, and he's got a burst. Roshan Johnson. If your team ends up with Roshan Johnson, folks, they're doing things. That Eric Gray from Oklahoma was pretty darn good, too.
I'm interested to see if Chase Brown gets drafted sometime soon. He was having a Heisman-type season at one point at U of I. Then he tore his ACL and got hurt and never was able to come back. And then, obviously, Deuce Vaughn, another big name. He's a little undersized back from Kansas State, but he's pretty electric out there. And then Isaiah Bowser from Central Florida, he had a few visits with the Buccaneers. I'll be interested to see where a couple of these later running backs end up. There's still a lot of talent left, man. As we keep talking about it, I keep seeing more and more talent with my eyes.
And I'll tell you what, Kenny McIntosh out of Georgia, he catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's got good size. It's like 6'2", 205. And I just don't think you can go wrong with the Georgia running back.
Nope.
Deuce Vaughn, man, that's going to be interesting to see who drafts him.
Right?
He is 5'5", 179 pounds.
Imagine if the Titans did, so you got Mini-Me and then Derrick Henry.
I like watching Vaughn play. I'm not convinced he's going to be anything in the NFL.
You think he has any potential to be like a Darren Sproles type, or you don't think his ceiling's that high?
Maybe. I'm going to be pulling for him. I just, man, a guy's 5'5", 179 pounds. He's going to go up against just monsters in the NFL. He better have one hell of an offensive line.
We've seen what happened. There was a last running back that size, right? Tariq Cohen. He was out of the league fast after the Bears gave him some money. These little running backs nowadays just get squished.
if you did have Deuce Vaughn for Tennessee and you're used to seeing Henry come out of that backfield and then you put Vaughn in there, it'd probably be very difficult to see him if you were a linebacker.
Mm-hmm. You could get creative. You could get tricky. And I think Tennessee's offense, I like what they did last night with the scroll pick in the first round build toward the offensive line. I'm really interested to see what they do tonight.
I think there's a very good chance that they go line again. If they don't do the big move and go quarterback, but signs point to if he would have been available at 3, I think the Titans are ready to go all in to go grab Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
And because he wasn't there, they might be just be punting the whole idea.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams felt like that. Titans, amongst others, potentially. I think Seahawks really thought Richardson was going to last till 5 for them. And then we've seen how that went. You know, the 3 QBs got gobbled up quick, and you got Levis free falling. Very interesting.
What is your lock of the day, sir?
Since we're talking about the NFL draft, I'm going to keep it fun and have a lock prop for the NFL draft. I like Hendon Hooker overall draft position, and you could get under 48.5. So that means you think he's going to get drafted within the first 16 picks of the second round. I think he probably definitely will. And under 48.5, those odds sit at -120. So pretty good odds for that. I think you could pretty much safely assure Hendon Hooker will be drafted tonight within the first 16 picks of the second round. My lock of the day is centered around the NFL draft and our buddy Hendon Hooker, Willian Hooker. But Hendon Hooker getting drafted under 48.5.
All right, my lock of the day is going to be the Braves, Max Fried, -140 on the money line. Give it to me. They're hopeful that the game's going to get played. So we're going to go with that theory that it's going to get played, and let's go. What is your walk-off, sir? Got about a minute.
Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy MLB. Enjoy NFL draft, because after the draft, we don't get NFL back for a little bit. But now is one of those special times in the year where it feels like we have all the sports. So just enjoy the overload.
My walk-off is Braves Mets, 7:10 tonight, 4:10 tomorrow, 1:40 Sunday, and 1:10 Monday. Bringing all 4 to you right here on Braves Country HD on YouTube. We're also going to be bringing some of the action to you here on WQEE. And keep it locked in here on the key. And we'll see you next time, live 3 to 5. And hopefully, whatever the opposite of a rain dance is, do that, Tones.
That's my rain stay the heck away jive.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked more like walk like an Egyptian, but okay. have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
See you, brother. Enjoy.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha-ha!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.